website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to have you join us as we face the issues today. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we look forward to your dialogue and discussion, and the way that dialogue and discussion takes place is for you to dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We look forward to your questions, comments on the issue of today. Today, we're talking about Kamala Harris's America. We're going to do a hypothetical. Kamala Harris is elected. What kind of America can we expect? What kind of America will we live in? Can it really be called America if Kamala Harris steals this election? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to consider that today. We're going to consider what life will be like in a Kamala Harris office holder if Kamala Harris is president. If she goes into the office as president, listen, I do realize that we're now discussing a hypothetical possibility. We're going to look at that hypothetical possibility. During the course of this broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. After a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we look at issues, we do so based on the central biblicist worldview, the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We do not base our issue conclusions on denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, political ploys, but simply what does the Bible say? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you go back and study Daniel, the 4th and 5th chapter, you realize there was a king named Nebuchadnezzar. He talked about what I am, what I will do, how I have built, what I have done. And God had to put him in his place. God caused him to crawl on his all fours as an animal for 7 years. And ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says, "And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling place shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee," that's 7 years, "until thou knowest that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he wills." Sometimes God uses very, very, what you and I would call from a human perspective, harsh measures to get a human being's attention. And I believe that's what God is going to have to do with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Tim Walz and others in that category. In fact, one day, I've got a little statement here that I believe somebody put on Facebook and my wife gave me. One day Kamala will have a very bad day when she hears Jesus say, "You're at the wrong rally," end quote. You recall just recently two Christian young men at Kamala Harris rally. And one stood and said, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And the other one said, "Christ is our King." And she said, "You're at the wrong rally. You need to be at that little rally down the street." One day she's going to be at the wrong rally when Jesus says, This is the wrong gate. This is the wrong door. This is the wrong place. I'm using that hypothetically, of course. I don't think she would even be at that point. I believe that there'd be a destiny far beyond and far different from that place called heaven. But nevertheless, as we face the issues, let me remind you, John 8:31-32, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." That's a pretty long time for truth to endure. But we're in a society today, a world today, a whole system today, where truth is not appreciated, it's not embraced, it's not rallied around, it is not considered. It goes back to a powerful statement that was made by a secularist, George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that to be coming true more and more each and every day. But truth matters. Regardless of whether you embrace it or not, truth still matters. It is the decline of truth that we find today that is so sad. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made this statement. "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even among our Christian churches." Ladies and gentlemen, it is sad to find the decline of truth in our nation. And also in that article, Jim DeMint made the statement that the reason that we find the decline of truth is because even in our churches, there's a decline of truth. It is sad to see the decline and the falling away, the apostasy, as the Bible calls it, in our churches. And I believe when we fail as Christians, fail to be salt and light, we will find the decay and the darkness overtaking, overwhelming our nation and peoples around the globe. And yet we're in a society, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say there's no absolute truth. In fact, their contention is that, and I quote, "each person determines their own version of truth. It couldn't be further from the truth." If you get away from absolute truth, if you get away from a pattern of what is truth, if you get away from the definition of real truth, you get away from truth. It's just like, I don't know if you recall, some of you may or may not, I'm old enough to recall it, some of the original photocopiers. They used the thermal paper. You could take an original, make a photocopy on thermal paper, and wouldn't be but a few months before that thermal paper would start fading out. You'd have a faded copy of the original. You make a photocopy of that faded copy, it's even more faded, and the more copies you make, the more faded you get, until you get away from the original so far that you don't recognize the original copy, don't recognize what is original. And that's what we see taking place today in the realm of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." May I say that's our, should be our goal, should be that which we focus on. In fact, Jan Hus made another statement. He says, "Do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is true." What is true? That's why I'm urging us, what I'm urging us to do each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. the knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. Tools for Time has a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's play act for a moment. Let's use some hypothetical thoughts for a moment. Based on Kamala Harris and Tim Walz's background, based on what they have done in the past, what they believe, and Kamala Harris says over and over and over again, her values have never changed. When we look at her values from the time she was the district attorney and attorney general in the state of California, when we look at what she did as a U.S. senator, her values were very, very clear. When we see what she's done in 4 years as vice president, we see her values coming out crystal clear. And so we look at a hypothetical possibility. This potential, ladies and gentlemen, can be completely avoided. Listen, if every Christian, every conservative, every patriot will go out and vote, only way we're going to save America. The only way America can be delivered is if we go out and vote, but at the same time, Nehemiah, you study the book of Nehemiah, 13 chapters, and when Nehemiah heard the condition of his land, when he heard the condition of the gates and the walls around the city of Jerusalem, when his relative came through and he had a conference with him and found out the condition, and that condition had been that way for about 150 years and it still laid waste. When Nehemiah heard that, he wept. He cried. He went to God. He confessed his sins. He confessed the sins of his nation. And he asked God to use him and to give victory in his life and doing what God would have him to do. You know the rest of the story. Nehemiah was 52 days with 49,942 people that had a mind to work and a heart to serve God, rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. They were threatened. They had a conspiracy to kill them. The threat kept coming. And Nehemiah challenged his people, "Our God shall fight for us." Nehemiah 4:20. And may I remind us today that that's the stratagem that we ought to take. That's the approach that we ought to see. We ought to understand that this is a pivotal election, perhaps the most consequential election in our lifetime. I know it is in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100. Maybe you've passed the 100 mark, and you can't say that. But I'm still under 100, and it is the most consequential election in my entire lifetime. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to pray, plan, and participate, and ask God to heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the directive in that area. We must ask God once again to divinely intervene and influence this election as he did in 2016. Yes, I believe that in 2016, God divinely intervened and gave a landslide victory for Donald Trump. I believe God can do it again. I believe it takes we the people, Christians, conservatives, and patriots, to stand together, going before God and asking God, going before God and being in our own lives salt and light, as God has called us to be. Salt reduces the rapidity of the rot, and light illumines darkness. We need to preserve America. We need to illumine America. And the only way that's possible is being salt and light, as God has charged us with the responsibility of being. Ladies and gentlemen, lest we do that, may I say to you, we will be in a communist Marxist nation regime that will be led by Kamala Harris, Tim Walz. I'm looking at an article. I'll read this article and open our telephone lines. This article is by Walker Wildman, CEO of American Family Association. We're just days away from the critical, by the way, he says days away from the critical election. It's actually about 144 hours, give or take an hour or two. He says, we're just days away from the critical election, and I can't stress enough how important your role is as a believer in this moment in our nation's history. This isn't just a about politics. It's about stewardship. God created government, and he calls us to act wisely in this area. God entrusts us to make wise choices about the leaders we select. When we choose to disengage from politics, we end up neglecting one of the areas of stewardship God has placed in our purview. God has blessed us with the opportunity to elect our leaders. We can't afford to just sit this one out. When Christians make the choice to disengage, it leaves room for the for politics and leaders that don't reflect biblical values. We just cannot let this happen, he says in that letter. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a moment in history that I believe we as citizens, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, will have to look back in years to come and ask the question, what could have changed? What made the difference? What did we not do? What should we have done? I don't want to be in a position, I don't know about you, I don't want to be in a position that we are having to look back and say, what could have been done different? How could we have saved America? What could we have done that would have been more honorable to God and what God would have us to do? Listen, we've been told for 4 years now that Joe Biden got 81 million votes for president. If you believe that, then you're believing an absolute lie. There's no way in the world possible that that took place. We all know, we all recognize, we understand that the election was stolen. But yet we have Republicans that are too timid, and because temerity will not stand up and say that. And yet we have those on the left, on the Communist Network News, that will keep saying, well, you know, there were suits filed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and all the courts said that there was no fraud in the election. No, there's not been a court case yet about the national election in 2020. There's not been a court case heard where the evidence was produced in a courtroom. The cases didn't get through the courthouse door simply because the judges in temerity didn't want to be the one to rule and agree with Donald Trump that the election was stolen. So they just simply said the plaintiffs had no standing, therefore were not allowed to be heard. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question and comment, please.
How are you, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you for asking. You asked a hypothetical question in regards to Kamala Harris being the president there. I would postulate that if you overlay her past onto a presidency there, you can deduce some things very quickly. One, you look at her staff turnover ratio of 92%. Now, she's going to be dealing with people like Department of Education, the IRS. There's going to be members that sit on her council, you know, Secretary of Defense, people of these nature there. And because she is put herself as being the smartest person in the room wherever she goes, and you could tell that by her attitude whenever she shows up somewhere, that it's not going to work out well for the United States. She's already proposed raising taxes. You and I both know that if she even says that, oh, we're going to raise taxes on the rich and the corporations there, we both know that the corporations are going to, in turn, have to raise the prices on their goods, consumer goods, to make up for that deficit, because the concept of noblesse oblige does not exist in corporate America today. She's all about herself, and she's already shown her proclivity to embrace an idea if it benefits her. An example of her standing in front of a church congregation and telling them that it's the will of God that she should be elected president, and then turn around in the very same breath within days and tell a protester who says Jesus Christ is Lord and King that they're at the wrong rally. All you have to do is just use a little discernment, a little wisdom, and look at this woman, and you can tell that she is not fit to be the president of the most powerful nation on earth, and a nation that was founded by God himself.
Absolutely.
John Adams said Jim, that it's a moral nation.
Yes. Jim, one of the things that is so causes so much consternation, as I view it, a retired judge I don't recall his name. I read the article out of California. Said that Kamala Harris never tried a case. Sure, her office may have, but she didn't personally try a case. But he went on to say that the only way that she felt she could win a case, as she would sit in the judge's chambers to talk, was to pull a skirt up a little higher as she tried to influence the judge. Another article said that she slept her way to the top in her political arena in California. So if she's got the same values, what can we expect out of the Oval Office if that is the value system that Kamala Harris has? In fact, Kamala Harris has been in office 4 years, and she and Joe Biden have the same values. And I'm looking at an article, Jim, I want to read it, get your take on it. Joe Biden calls Trump supporters garbage. President Biden calls supporters from former President Donald Trump garbage. The comment came during a private evening meeting on Tuesday night. Donald Trump has no character, Biden said. The President of the United States just called tens of millions of his fellow countrymen a pile of stinking garbage. Democrats call for unity and civility while calling Trump conservatives Nazis, racists, fascists, white supremacists, deplorables, dregs of society, and now calling us garbage. How do you respond to that?
This garbage here on this side of the phone supports the Constitution. I support the Bill of Rights. I do not support the mutilation of children. I do not support abortion. And of all the things that I've been called, you know the one thing the Democrats have never had? The cojones to call us is evil. Isn't that funny? They've called us everything short of evil, but yet everything they stand for politically is nothing but pure evil. It reminds me of 2 Thessalonians 6:10 there, where God's talking about he will blind them and give them up to those thoughts. It's completely amazing if these individuals would just accept that Lord Jesus Christ is God and would accept him and then open their eyes, they could cure themselves and our country overnight.
Absolutely. By the way, that Second Thessalonians, by the way, that Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. But that's all right. You're in the right book. That's good.
Jim, yeah, I've got the book.
That's right. Jim, I'm going to read one other article and get your take, and then I'll let you go. This is from Jay Sekulow, ACLJ chief counsel. A federal judge just granted the Biden-Harris DOJ's motion that would allow illegal immigrants to vote. They're trying to ban a state from removing non-citizens from the voter roll. Border czar Kamala Harris' open border policies have flooded the country with illegal aliens, and now the DOJ is trying to use the courts to block states from preventing illegals from voting. In bold print in this newsletter from Jay Sekulow, the survival of our constitutional republic depends on the integrity of our elections, and we're mobilizing our legal team to fight back. What say you in relationship to these states, cities that are allowing illegal invaders to vote, and now even some of the court cases, they've had two in fact, where the federal judges, appeal judges, have said that they can allow the illegals to vote, and that's being fast-tracked to the Supreme Court. What say you? What's going to be the outcome? What do you think the Supreme Court's going to say?
This is complete lawfare. If you look at the Constitution, if you are not a citizen of the United States, by de facto, you do not have any rights here in the United States. I recall when I swore in to serve my military term, that the last thing that I was told after I made that affirmation oath was, all rights have been waived, act accordingly. How can you have the rights of a sovereign nation outlined and defined by the Bill of Rights and the Constitution if you're not a citizen? It's completely ludicrous, in my opinion.
Here's what I'm afraid of, Jim, and I've studied it pretty closely with their pleadings and what I believe the court's going to do. There was a law in 1993 that used the term that it could not be, they could not clean the rolls, and I think I'm just loosely quoting, could not clean the voter rolls within after a 90-day or in a 90-day period of time before an election. Then in 2006, another law that's almost not verbatim, but dealing with the same issue, gives a peripheral of within 30 days. And so now, I believe the court's going to split the hairs based on the time frame and not on the constitutionality of it, but simply find a way out without ruling by simply saying that the dates do not meet the law, and so therefore they cannot clean the rolls. I think that's where it's headed. And then after the election, there will be perhaps other hearings, and the courts will rule, well, you were right, the illegals shouldn't have voted, but it's too late, the election's already taken place, we can't go back and undermine an election the will of the people. I believe that's where it's headed, and I'm afraid of that. We're witnessing today the disintegration of our constitutional republic and everything that our Bill of Rights and our Constitution therein stands for. So, Jim, I think it deserves our very certain prayer, asking God to give us reprieve, asking God to divinely intervene and to place Donald Trump back in office. If not, we'll have what I'm calling today Kamala Harris's America, and it's kind of scary when you get into the nuts and bolts of it. But Jim, thank you so much for your comment, for your input, your insights. Have a blessed day and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Listen, we've already been told that this 4 years, Joe Biden, I stated it earlier, Joe Biden had gotten some 81 million votes. That is an absolute impossibility. And ladies and gentlemen, not only do we find now where there's a battle over constitutional peripheral that only citizens can vote, there's a battle about that, but there's all of a sudden some major, major things taking place in Portland, Oregon, just in the past couple of days, and Washington State. Two major voter drop boxes were incinerated, and hundreds of ballots were burned. Secondly, I'm looking at an article, election worker fined after man finds boxes of unsecured ballots in a parking lot. Totally unacceptable. Election officials in Minnesota, of all places, fired a ballot courier last week after Republicans spotted unsecured ballots in the back of his van. And I saw pictures of it with the back of a minivan lifted up and dozens of cases of ballots in there. No one there watching it. No one protecting it. Anybody could come in and grab the box or add it to it or taken away from it. It's a very dangerous, loosey-goosey, if I can call it that, election process that we'll see. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I know you're blessed, but what you just brought up about the ballot boxes, and I saw it on the news, and I'm like, what? Because 9 times out of 10, there were people for Trump. And I remember Kamala, well, I call her Smiley Liar. Kamala Harris said, oh, no, we're going to win this election. So that lets me know that she is this already planned, not her, but her puppet masters. And I know Obama is in there. Her puppet masters are going to make sure she try to win. But I hope God give us a reprieve and
Amen.
Trump go in there again, because it was so good when Trump was in there, because he's not a professional politician. He's a businessman.
Absolutely.
He ran the country like a business.
Absolutely. Kenneth, our time is about out for the top of the hour news. But listen, I'm thankful that you called, and you're exactly right. It deserves our prayer, our consideration, and I say vote, just as Trump stood up after he was shot at and shot through the ear, and he stood up and said, fight. We need to fight. We need to fight with this is a spiritual battle. We need to fight with prayer and absolutely going out and voting and asking God to intervene. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call, for your insight. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news, and right after that, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WH